Wonder Woman, Shaquille O'Neal, Abraham Lincoln, Dumbledore, Gandalf, and Han Solo hang out in a cross-property mashup that makes Ready Player One look as ambitious as Freddy vs. Jason. It's the Lego Movie, and it was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
This is the number one movie in America. I'm Sean Collier. I'm here with a road tripping band of lackadaisical tabloid journalists in the form of Robin Hitchcock.
Hello.
And Camila Adams.
Never place your rear end on a pirate's face.
That's a good rule. The most joyous thing in this movie are dumb gags that would be cheesy in any other film.
Exactly.
That would be just like tacky and obvious, but because it's a Lego, exactly. Now it's funny again.
Exactly.
And because of the strength of the voice cast, but we'll get there.
We'll get there. On episode 27, this is the last vestige of I don't really know what I'm doing at this point in the podcast, is the space in between hi and the 60-second recap. What do we do here?
This is usually when we start talking about the movie, and
yeah.
then I'm
right.
like, wait, we can't, stop,
exactly.
don't do it. Or we talk about something entirely unrelated.
I know what we should talk about. Mm-hmm. Who's at the fourth mic, Camila?
Well, we were so blessed and lucky enough to have Mr. Tony Goldwyn here mm-hmm. in the studio, standing at a mere 2 feet tall
mm-hmm.
in cardboard cutout form. Tony.
Hi, everyone. Thank you.
I'm totally going to cut in him talking right now.
Right. This isn't a commercially available product,
no.
right? What is the origin of the 2 foot tall Tony Goldwyn
so
standee
what
that now graces?
What happened was last Christmas,
uh-huh.
my husband gifted me a cardboard cutout of Jeff Goldblum.
Naturally.
2 feet tall.
Yeah.
That was the last gift he gave me. He made a big deal about it. I mm-hmm. laughed for like an hour.
Sure.
And so, after, you know, we decided that Tony Goldwyn is our patron saint of the podcast,
mm-hmm.
I just started like tooling around. And I had forgot. I didn't even think about trying to find a cardboard cutout. But then mm-hmm. I like went on Etsy and was like, Tony Goldwyn.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
rest,
no.
No, Tony, don't faint. It's okay.
He collapsed from the excitement.
He's shy.
And so I just like went to Etsy and put in Tony Goldwyn.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that came up was a pillow. So there is a pillow that I have now because I forgot to look further. I was like, this is the best I'm going to find.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went again and their cardboard cutout was there. So
somebody on Etsy was selling?
Yes.
So it was a commercially available
product. Yeah, I assumed this had to be a custom thing.
No, I did not have this specially made.
No, like with enough Googling, you could, and our listeners can buy a cardboard cutout
yeah.
of Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Etsy.
And he's just, you know, he just looks so happy to be here.
he really does.
I don't know how much he's going to add other than influence and the luck of the draw.
You know, and just charm.
So,
do we make him face the corner
left.
If we get a Hobbit movie?
What? I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
He dresses left.
Oh, I see.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
Ah! What's up, dude? Yes, because I've noticed that Tony Goldwyn does walk with his dick.
Mm-hmm. So it's a
We're all
detailed
just beaming
cutout.
At him. We yeah. are just beaming at Tony Goldwyn at the fourth mic.
It's this is so. Until we actually get Tony Goldwyn to appear on the show, this is the best thing that's happened. So thank you, Camila.
Yay.
For
my pleasure.
For blessing the studio. In this way.
Beautiful iHeartRadio studio.
Yes. The beautiful iHeartRadio studio in Pittsburgh. And from my perspective, it's the best because it's a giant iHeartRadio podcast studio logo
mm-hmm.
with a small, small Tony Goldwyn face smiling in the middle of it.
Check out our Twitter. I'll post photos.
Oh, it's so good. So speaking of this, by the way, speaking of famous people, there were like 5 minutes where it seemed like Alison Brie was appearing on this episode of the show. Here's what happened. Alison Brie, national treasure, who you know from Glow and Community and many other things, including the Lego movie, mm-hmm. as the voice of Unikitty, is promoting a Netflix film called Horse Girl. The trailer is amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm probably going to watch it tomorrow.
Also, great title.
Recording it. Yes. Yeah. And Netflix sent emails around like, hey, we've got phone time availability. This is kind of a relic at this point. Even 15 years ago, a normal round of movie publicity was that you called reviewers. And because until, you know, the mid-2000s, newspaper space was pretty much unlimited,
right.
They would go, sure, I will talk to Tony Goldwyn for 10 minutes and write up 600 words of Tony Goldwyn saying things about this movie that we also have a review of. That used to be a very common thing. Now that newspapers are falling into nothingness,
right.
That's less common. Netflix is still trying to make it happen. So Netflix contacted me and said, hey, do you want phone time with Alison Brie to write about for Horse Girl? That's not really in the scope of what I can do at Pittsburgh Magazine with movie coverage. So I said, no, but I got this podcast. And that, like, started a cycle of somewhere in California people evaluating whether or not this podcast was worth Alison Brie's time.
Yeah.
So that said, guys, I really need you to follow us and like us and
review
us.
Yeah.
Give
us
that good review.
The more our numbers go up, the more likely rating. It is that this will actually happen someday. They said, maybe we'll find out. And that's where we sit right now. So if that happens, then you're about to hear our brief interview with Alison Brie. If that didn't happen, Robin can leave this sound in. Okay.
We still like you, Alison Brie.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. We love you,
Alison Brie. Thanks for doing the show.
Yes.
And I legitimately did, like, as a Community fan.
Yeah.
You know, I started cheering for her to become a cultural force, you know, 10 years ago. And she really did, especially with Glow.
Mm-hmm.
And now my girlfriend has been one of her characters for Halloween.
Aww.
Zoya from Glow. So then let's go ahead and give a 60-second recap of the Lego movie.
Just give a preface for this. Sure. I feel really guilty right now. Why? Because, you know, normally I'm like, it's just my style to just do the rambly, off-the-cuff recap. Mm. Camila and Sean, they prepare. Camila has her bits.
Yeah.
And at one point, watching the movie, I was like, I should make it rhyme like a Morgan Freeman thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got nowhere with that. And so I'm about to do the Robin thing of rambling about the plot of the Lego movie.
It's that you want to do better that
and
counts.
I know. Exactly. All right. And also, yikes. This is going to be a tough one. So let's do it, though.
Ready and go.
Okay, so Emmett is a Lego man, and he's the same as everyone else, and he loves conformity, and everything is awesome. And then there is Lord Business, President Business, some kind of bad man, who is going to crazy glue the world of Legos together, and so he must be stopped. The Morgan Freeman as a wizard has a prophecy about the most special person ever finding a thing that will fix everything. It's the cap to a crazy glue. The journey to recap the crazy glue includes Unikitty, a pirate, a spaceman with a broken helmet, all the people Sean mentioned in the beginning, briefly, cameos from every character you've ever thought of. I think I might be forgetting another one of the core characters. Oh, of course, Wildstyle.
Right.
Yeah, she's Trinity from The Matrix, and turns out that Emmett's more important than her, and it's weak. Then at the end, there's this weird live action bit where Lord Business is the dad, and he doesn't want his kids to play with his Legos because he's a weird Lego man. But Legos are toys. The end.
The good news is. So the good news is like if we had prepared a very detailed, like, beat by beat explanation, I don't think it would have been more clear than that.
Right.
In looking back at this plot, it's kind of, you know, clunky.
But I mean, it's a standard, like, MacGuffin point A to point B to point C to point D to get to, like, just let's go through these different set pieces kind of thing. But it's amusing the whole way.
It's very amusing.
Yeah.
Your recap was solid, but a failure at 65 seconds.
Oh,
so.
It's always when I start editorializing.
That's true. That's true. And the forgetting Wildstyle, as the movie often does, you know.
Yeah.
tripped you up for a second. Mm-hmm. I'm being too critical. This is a very good movie. Let's talk about Everything is Awesome before we get to the facts and figures, because I could do a whole podcast on that song. So let's get it out of the way. It's perfect. Like, that is in the very rare category of song that when I discovered it, by which I mean saw this movie, I did drive around playing it on loop.
It's a real song?
Yeah.
It exists?
It's the Lonely Island.
It is it is Lonely Island with Tegan and Sarah.
Right.
What's funny is, though, I still walked away. Did they play this song like for an extended period of time in the movie? Because there's only like twice that it's mentioned, yeah?
So
because I feel like I walked away from it not really... My fear was like, that song's going to be stuck in my head for days. Mm. I got nothing.
So they play it a few times, but it's really just, everything is awesome. But the whole song plays over the credits, are very cool credits also. Okay.
The whole song plays over the credits. It features heavily into that opening sequence where he's, not the opening sequence, but the Emmett introductory sequence. Right. They sing it to distract the robots. Mm-hmm. And in my favorite appearance, there's like a Westworld soundtrack version of Everything is Awesome playing when they go into the bar in the old rest area.
Westworld soundtrack.
Yeah.
I love it.
My favorite lyric in Everything is Awesome is, stepped in mud, got new brown shoes.
Oh, it's so good.
I do enjoy The Lonely Island. We'll have to try to listen to the actual song.
But sorry to Oscar sidebar. You said last week you were like, it was robbed at the Oscars, but it lost to Glory. And I will entertain the argument that Everything is Awesome is a better song, right? It's like I really do agree. It's a very good song, but Glory is also a very good song and gave us Chris Pine crying.
Yeah.
Okay. And also EGOT, John Legend.
Yeah. Glory winning
and
is
Oscar
fine.
And Oscar winner Common, right? These are all good things.
When I said that during the last episode, I was getting my snubs confused. In my mind, I thought Everything is Awesome had not been nominated for Best Original Song.
But you meant...
It was. What I meant was Lego Movie was not nominated for Best Animated Feature.
Which was a big deal at the time.
That's maddening.
Yeah.
And that year...
And not like some movies that were kind of
including the winner. Big Hero 6 won, which is a very unremarkable movie. That is the forgettable low point between Frozen and Moana. Is Big Hero 6. And then The Box Trolls, which is a solid nominee. How to Train Your Dragon 2, which was not good. Only the original How to Train Your Dragon is, you know, is particularly good.
I liked How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, more than How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Do you want my coffee table book?
No, thank you.
I didn't think so. and Song of the Sea and the Tale of Princess Kaguya, I did not see either of those. This is before I was seriously death racing. It absolutely shouldn't have been nominated for Best Animated Feature and probably should have won. I know I voted for it. I think this was the first year I was voting. But yes, Glory winning is fine. That was actually a strong-ish year for Best Original Song because it had Glenn Campbell's heartbreaking I Can't Remember Anything song.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Anyway, Everything is Awesome is fantastic. And
It's awesome to win. It's awesome to lose.
It's so good. They tried to do it again in the Lego Movie 2.
I liked the Lego Movie 2 song.
This song's going to get stuck inside your head?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, the Frozen song, where it's like, you can't do it again.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to try, and they did with Frozen, speaking of animated feature snubs.
Boy, that bonus episode we did was so great, wasn't it? It's in the future as we're speaking. Here is the numbers, the facts-y numbers about the Lego Movie. It was released February 7th, 2014, the fourth number one film of the year. It won its weekend with $69 million.
Nice.
Thank you. It beat star-studded Misfire, The Monuments Men. Remember that?
I watched that on an airplane. This is from my airplane era of movies.
Monuments Men came in second with, and everybody, wasn't George Clooney and Brad Pitt in that? And
yes.
John Goodman and
Bill
Murray?
It was a George Clooney movie, I think.
And it was just not interesting. It never ascended to interesting.
I found it diverting on an airplane.
Different standard.
Yeah.
Monuments Men came in second with $22 million. Also opening that weekend in seventh place was Vampire Academy, which I swear is a real movie and not an early 90s 10 minutes to one SNL sketch. Vampire Academy. opened in seventh, $3.9 million. Lego Movie would win two more weekends. It is a three-weekend number one. It won its second weekend, $49.8 million, over four new releases. It beat four new movies to win a second weekend. They were About Last Night in second. The RoboCop remake was in third.
And also watched that on an airplane.
I forgot about that.
It was not very good. Endless Love was in fifth, and A Winter's Tale was in seventh. And it beat two more new releases to win its third weekend. Third weekend, $31.3 million over 3 Days to Kill and Pompeii. Finally fell to third place in its fourth weekend behind Nonstop and Son of God. It went on to earn $257.7 million, fifth for the year, behind only American Sniper, previous episode subject Mockingjay Part 1, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Captain America the Winter Soldier. Lego Movie is the fifth highest February weekend of all time, behind what two superhero movies, one work of erotica, and one faith film?
Well, clearly a Freed or Gray something is one of them, right?
Fifty Shades of Gray is the work of erotica.
Good job.
Two superhero movies and one faith film.
Is this Black Panther?
Black Panther.
Oh, of course.
Black Panther is the biggest February weekend of all time.
Is the other one not a Marvel movie?
The other one is ancillary Marvel.
So like a Spider-Man? A man of spiders?
Deadpool.
Spider-Man?
Deadpool.
The answer is Deadpool. A man of spiders. And
is it
what
Spider-Man?
And what one faith film had a bigger February weekend than the Lego movie? You won't get it because no one remembers it was out in February. It is Passion of the Christ. Everyone thinks of that as an Easter thing, but it was out that February. That's the list of things bigger than Lego Movie in the month of February. Black Panther, Deadpool, 50 Shades of Grey, and The Passion of the Christ. That would be a weird lineup at Row House Cinema for a week. What else do we have? Lego Movie was followed by the Lego Batman movie in 2017, a two-weekend number one movie in America. It earned $175.7 million. The Lego Ninjago movie came out later in 2017. It was not a hit.
What's a Ninjago?
It's Lego's ninja line.
Okay.
So it's like...
Is it not a standalone intellectual property?
I don't think so. Okay. I think that's a Lego created property.
Okay.
It sounds dangerously close to some other word.
Yeah. That probably didn't help, leading to a third place debut, under $60 million total. The Lego Movie 2, the second part, came out in 2019. It was a one-week number one, $105.8 million. So Lego Movie 2 earned less than half as much as its predecessor, despite being pretty good.
I was underwhelmed by it.
They really went hard on the relationship between the human characters, which I thought was really nice in Lego Movie 2.
I agree that is the best part in Lego 2, or Lego Movie 2. I also like the twist or whatever I dug, but the whole extended bit with like bad Chris Pratt and good Chris Pratt, my Chris Pratt patience does not allow tolerance. Yes, it did not allow for me to find that charming. I more just found it like annoying.
We'll get to Chris Pratt.
Okay,
trust me. But yeah, your mileage may vary on Lego Movie 2 for that exact reason. A sequel to Lego Batman is coming not until 2022. There is a Lego racing movie in development. Allegedly, Universal is trying to start a rival Lego franchise with different original characters.
Why?
Hollywood just sees this as the most marketable thing ever. It is in video games. There are literally hundreds of Lego video games branded to other properties.
Really?
There's like 10 Lego Star Wars games and 10 Lego Harry Potter games and Lego. I owned Lego Jurassic Park at one point.
Good lord.
That are just like family-friendly, fun, like platformer games with where everyone's a Lego. So I guess everyone wants a piece of this pie, even though, you know, only two of these movies made a particular lot of money, so I don't know.
So I am adjacent to Lego subculture in that my brother, who exists, I have a brother.
Right, thank you.
My brother John is a brickhead, is I believe what they call themselves.
Really?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, so I...
That could be better.
Like, it could be.
Like even Legoats is like
Legoats.
I like it.
Yeah. off the top of my head.
But I messaged him. I was like, hey, do you have anything you'd like me to say about the Lego movie, which I know he likes? And he did not respond. So this is me publicly shaming my brother for not texting me back.
Seriously,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
This was your chance.
Mm-hmm.
We have people. I don't know about you two, but occasionally someone comes up to me like, can I be a guest on your podcast? And I'm like, we don't have guests. And you would know that if you actually listened. So, but nevertheless, people are asking. This was your chance, Robin's brother who exists.
Right.
Finally, in addition to a staggering number of short films, there are a million Lego Movie short films.
There are.
And a Cartoon Network series about Unikitty, which I did not know existed until this research.
Wait a second. What do you mean?
There's a Unikitty series.
A Lego Movie short films. So,
like when I put it, when I'm like, watch the Lego Movie, like 50 other things show up before the actual Lego Movie.
With these characters in 5 to 10 minute shorts.
Oh, I see. Are they like, any good?
I don't know.
I didn't
see any. Like, you know, when it's like, this DVD has 8 Minions mini movies.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
That. There is also the Lego Movie 4D, A New Adventure, a theme park film for 4D effects theaters. This was at Kennywood until recently. Like, this was at the Kennywood in the 4D theater for, like, maybe 3 or 4 years.
Kennywood has a 4D theater?
Kennywood has a 4D theater.
What does 4D mean? The fourth dimension is time, yes.
Not in movies.
Okay. Somebody comes out and physically shakes you and things.
So, really, in that movies happen, this is 5D because 4D counts. No. If you're going to a 4D theater as opposed to... any of the other brandings of things, that generally means you're in a theme park or special mall, and there is a place that has some like rumble effects on the seats, and like you'll get sprayed with water at some point, and there are smell effects and fog effects and lighting effects.
I was like, okay, way back when Vincent Price released The Tingler.
It's like that. And Kennywood has one of these theaters that I forget what was in there normally before the Lego thing. Now it switches back and forth between a Thomas the Train thing and a San Andreas 4D
version. San Andreas.
Like GTA? Like Grand Theft Auto?
No, San Andreas, the Rock movie about the earthquake. Yeah, it's really good at Halloween because for the first like 6 years, they had like a Friday the 13th from 2009 4D. And when Jason would get someone in the back, a little thing in your chair would like poke you in the back really suddenly.
Don't like that.
And they replaced it with It Chapter 1.
So, oh, hell no.
Yeah, it's really great.
So you go watch the whole movie in this room in Kennywood?
No, you watch like a 17-minute cut of an existing movie that they have added effects to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that being something I would do.
The Lego Movie 4D A New Adventure was one of these things. The characters
step on actual Legos. Barefoot.
That would be good. The characters all think they're going to Legoland, but are actually drawn to a rival park called Brick World, run by President Business's older brother, Risky Business.
Hello!
Most of the cast returns, and in fact, Patton Oswalt plays Risky Business in a new role. The only person who refused to participate was Chris Pratt.
Okay, Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're too good for this all of a sudden.
And now we begin our segment, Okay, Chris Pratt. Anyone can go. I know we all have things.
Well, we all have already decided that he is the lesser of all Chris's.
He's the worst Chris.
The worst Chris. There's a lot of Chris's. That's pretty terrible.
He's still the worst one.
But that's as far as I really, like, I don't have any other personal things against him, except for, like, maybe sometimes I want to kind of smush his face. It's like, ah.
This is kind of good casting in that Chris Pratt is a well-meaning blank slate in way over his head.
True.
Is a very true statement.
Yes.
Like, I mean,
very much.
I don't think he was great in this, but, you know, he's very believable as kind of useless, but there.
Yes.
You know, like even in this loaded voice cast, it's like, yeah, okay.
It took me forever to even realize that it was him. I was like, I know this voice. It's very annoying.
I remember when I saw this movie. So I saw this movie. I lived in Cape Town at the time. Very weird experience seeing a movie that is so heavily reliant on American pop culture in a South African theater. And like, they don't know what crazy glue is. That's not a they have instant bond glue, but they don't have that product. So when that reveal happens that the Craggle is crazy glue, I'm like, yay! And they're just stone faced.
Mm-hmm.
No Polish of Nile.
They did get that one. What was I going to say? Oh, I very clearly remember I saw it. He won't listen to this. The guy I saw it with, he's a movie talker. And this is a movie that he had a lot of things to respond to, right? Like, because there's just so much information.
Mm.
But I also remember, like, towards the end, him going, oh, Chris Pratt.
Well, a lot of them, like Morgan Freeman, obviously you're like, cool, Morgan Freeman is this character. And Elizabeth Banks is very, very good. Mm-hmm. Like, she really kind of carries this movie. You might not recognize Nick Offerman, but he's doing great.
Nick Offerman is great. He's the pirate.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Charlie Day is great.
Charlie Day is great. Alison Brie is, I loved that character mm-hmm. instantly.
And Will Ferrell is great. The voice cast brings it.
Always.
Oh, my God.
He's my absolute favorite in just about anything. And he's got one of those voices. It's a very nice voice, but he could say just about anything, and I find it humorous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is, but...
Oh, speaking of good songs in this movie, Darkness, No Parents.
That's the one I want to fool.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that the next move was to spin Lego Batman off.
And I thought Lego Batman was really good, too.
Yeah.
But it is definitely the poor man's version of the South Park Imagination Land arc, which obviously South Park is gross in a lot of ways, but the Imagination Land arc is brilliant and amazing.
The Imagination Land arc is great. Did anything overstay its welcome more than South Park?
Oh my God.
That's a good question.
Is it still on?
New episodes? Yes.
New episodes that are like, giving people a hard time for being upset about Trump. Like, how dare you have feelings?
What the fuck?
And obviously Simpsons is still on too, but Simpsons changed into a different thing at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like there were rough years of Simpsons, and then the current era of Simpsons, I think this is a different TED talk, is like Simpsons is in this like happy obsolescence era mm-hmm. where it's like, we're a cultural institution, we'll keep doing these, but like we know that it's not really the same thing anymore.
I don't know. Colin still watches The Simpsons, so it's on in my presence, and I typically laugh out loud.
Yeah. No,
so
it's still funny.
It's just not going to be what it was.
One of my friends actually just started as a writer for The Simpsons.
Christine Nangle.
Yes. Something.
Congratulations to her. Anyway, this point is about South Park. If South Park had stopped around Imagination Land, there would be warts on its legacy, but people would be like, man, they were really on it a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And now it's like,
I don't even know if I know anybody that actually still watches it. Hopefully I don't.
You don't. You don't want to.
It's HBO is trying to corner the adult animation market with their forthcoming thing.
Interesting.
Like HBO bought both South Park and Rick and Morty exclusively.
Oh.
I love Rick and Morty.
I've never watched it.
Rick and Morty is the... I'm going to cut this, but it is the bird Sanders of animated where the product itself might be fine, but I hate it by association.
That is very accurate. Like when I was getting into Rick and Morty, I got into Rick and Morty and I had Funko Pops and was like approaching the t-shirt level. And then I noticed the rest of the Rick and Morty fans. And Rick and Morty is like, I still watch every episode. It's fantastic. The fan base. Like if you're in college right now, you can have this dissertation because the show is actually an indictment of most of the people who love it. Who love it in the wrong direction.
Interesting.
Like Rick is the villain of the show and most of it is about his continued failings and the people around him making up for him, and a big chunk of the fan base treats him as a like life coach. It's
Tyler Durden all over again.
It's Tyler Durden again. We're talking about the Lego movie.
I do have a dissertation about the Lego movie.
Please.
Or a title, then somebody else can do the work. The Lego movie takes, we talked about the weird fascist read of The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's basically takes Syndrome's line, if everyone's special, then no one is, and says, yep. But isn't it okay?
Isn't it awesome?
Right? Like, you're right. Still like it, though.
It is interesting that the message of this very corporate product is...
Right. A movie literally designed to sell toys.
Mm. Right. And that's the joy of this movie, but I'll get to that in a second. To your point, it's interesting that the message of this, from a company that packages detailed instructions and the exact right amount of parts and no more in all of its products, the message is don't do things the right way, be creative and unique and different.
Well, do either of you Lego?
No.
As a kid, I did a lot.
Okay, so this past year, I had put together my very first Lego set.
Was it fun?
It was maddening at first. It was a Friends set, the Friends Lego
set.
Oh,
wow.
It came with 6 bags, and I didn't know what to expect. And they had this book of instructions and all this jazz. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very much the Emmett in Lego.
Yeah.
and putting Legos together, because Dan was trying to help me out, and like there are some things I had some missteps, and he was like, oh, it's okay, I'll fix it, and he's like taking stuff apart, and I'm flop sweating. I'm just like, don't, you're gonna break it, I don't know where it goes, and so I'm freaking out. Mm-hmm. It all ended up fine. Mm-hmm. But still, like, I get what you're saying, where they give you like these detailed instructions, and that's mm-hmm. the first and only set I will ever put together by myself. Mm-hmm. Or like that.
It has no appeal to me. If I really, really get myself psyched for it, I might be able to put a jigsaw puzzle together. But like, I don't want to sit around.
I love jigsaw puzzles. Not a thing you can do with cats.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm.
But it's so crazy, because you get like this bag of like 50 bricks or whatever, and they're mm-hmm. all different shades of brown.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to discern from their illustrations which is the right shade of brown and go on the thing.
See, if I wanted that, so I would go to IKEA, and then I would at least have new furniture at the end.
Now I got one more thing I gotta dust
right
in my house. But I am very much, I'm like, when they revealed the crazy gloom, Will Ferrell's, that's what his plan was. I'm thinking, fuck yeah, I should crazy glue that shit together.
And also, that is a thing that people do.
Yeah.
When I was visiting my brother around Christmas, he was like, can you pick up some crazy glue for me? Mm-hmm. I need to glue this Lego ornament together for my Aunt Chris, who is also a brickhead.
So the joy of the Lego movie to me was in the surprise of it, that I walked into, you know, a screening a week or two in advance thinking, holy crap, they made a movie out of plotless bricks.
Right.
Like, what? This is going to just be the most callous commercial thing ever. And then being delighted by it. Mm. And then finding, not only is it really, really funny.
Yeah.
That it has, you know, a nice, heartwarming, you know, core to it that's expressed in a live action sequence I did not anticipate being in the movie.
I was gasping when that happened.
Right.
I was like, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Things just got a little more interesting.
And like having the thought in the back of my head, so like, are all of the Lego branded properties going to be a part of this? And then, you know, the first dip of that being like, Batman saved them. Oh my God, Batman is a major character in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Literal Batman. And then, you know, the all those people I mentioned in the panel, and they're like, oh, this movie is going to riff on Gandalf and Dumbledore being the same person.
Yeah.
And like, it, like there were so many turns when I was like, I expected nothing, and instead I got
everything you
such
ever wanted.
A delightful movie.
Mm-hmm.
That said, my only big criticism is sitting down and rewatching it, because I've seen a couple minutes of it here or there since then, but sitting down to rewatch it, it loses a little bit without that surprise. I think that surprise really elevated people's love for it.
I was a little shocked by the beheading of Morgan Freeman. Like, I was like, wow, that's a little harsh.
erasing Good Cop's face.
Good Cop's face and making him kill his parents.
Right.
Both quite harrowing.
Well, entrap his parents.
Okay.
They're fine.
Is it like...
They came back at the end.
Oh, okay.
They came back there.
Right,
yeah.
Great.
And that's Liam Neeson, right?
Mm-hmm. Was
the,
which
another great performance.
Loved it. His little good cop, and then I couldn't tell. I knew he was the voice of his father, but was he also the voice of his mother?
I think so. Yes.
God, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
His good cop voice is so precious.
Right. And I got most enjoyment really just kind of imagining Morgan Freeman like actually voicing this.
Oh, did you see the blooper reel?
No.
Look on YouTube. There's like a 3-minute blooper reel like it's any other comedy. Mm. And about half of them are setups, but about half of them are just like random snippets of dialogue they caught in the booth, but then animate.
Nice. Oh, cool.
So it's like, it's the Morgan Freeman character complaining that he has, you know, a bunch of script pages that don't belong to him. And it concludes with Chris Pratt and Will Arnett going on this rant about how they're old enough that they like to lean on things, and they want to invent a chair that's no seat but just arms and back and just lean against it.
God, I have to lean on stuff these days.
I hear that. I could use like the arms of an armchair.
Yeah, just
the arms in the back. I don't need to sit, but just this.
Nobody's
invited. Great when I invent that.
Fully animated with Emmett and Batman. It's the other secret delight is when you realize that pretty much all of those one joke characters were also famous people.
Oh, yeah.
Like Channing Tatum was Superman.
And what? Jonah Hill
and
is
Jonah Hill's Green Lantern.
I'm trying. Colby Smulders is Wonder Woman.
Colby Smulders is, oh man, that invisible jet gag.
Yes!
That was great.
Keegan-Michael Key was Foreman Jim. Chris McKay was the barista. Shaquille O'Neal was Shaquille O'Neal. Like, there were so many people who were just like, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that, including Billy Dee Williams. That wasn't Harrison Ford. That was Billy Dee Williams.
That Excellent. Was great. Which, I don't understand why Harrison Ford couldn't pop in. Like, he was the voice in Secret Life of Pets, too. So he's not above animation.
And he's doing this horrible-looking Call of the Wild movie.
I am going to see the Call of the Wild. I think that basically I just keep trying to recapture Cats. I just want to feel the way that I felt watching Cats again.
I mean, that might be it. That dog looks terrible. It looks like a Secret Life of Pets dog.
Yeah.
In a live. We are in Roger Rabbit territory.
Yeah.
But they're treating it apparently like we're supposed to believe that's a living dog. Why is this happening? To another one of my notes, by the way, this movie, the Lego movie, looks more like real life than The Lion King did.
Really?
It is incredible, the details. I love how they like the plastic is like slightly scratched.
The scratch and the scuff marks on it. The way that
the
way that Spaceman is damaged.
Because the space Legos were my favorite Legos as a kid.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, there used to be these like bases that you would build things on before it was like when they really were more just like, here's a bunch of bricks. Use your imagination. I had a moon one. So it was a gray base with then like a little bit of moon craters on it. And, it's the best. Anyway, those helmets broke all the time. So I felt seen.
Yeah.
I think I read that all of the pieces that are there are actual Legos.
Oh, yeah. Like when those.
Except for President Business.
Oh,
like his legs and his headpiece, you cannot buy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
and like when they put out things, those things together where the numbers come up, those were the model numbers.
Camila, you're the only person who was seeing this for the first time.
Mm.
So how did you react to coming to it new?
It took me a minute to really get into it. I was just kind of like, okay, let's go. But I forget exactly what it was, but there were definitely some laugh out loud moments. And I think like Morgan Freeman and Will Arnett, they're probably by far my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Characters in it, and I thought it was fun. It was like a really nice movie that the whole family can enjoy. You're right. I'll never watch this again unless there's a child like wanting to watch it. Like I'm totally cool with watching it. You know, when Kaji is ready to, or one of my nephews is around or something. But I'll never pop it in just for myself.
Well, I would go on to Lego Batman because it's probably funnier in a lot of the same ways, but also in a take on the character. And I remember saying, like, when it came out, it's definitely in the five best Batman movies. Lego Batman.
Yeah.
Dark Knight and Tim Burton number one are definitely one and two, but
or are they?
What other Batman movie?
No, I'm just referencing my skepticism about The Dark Knight, which I still haven't rewatched. It's referenced in a previous episode.
I really hope it comes up as the next movie that we have to.
No, I thought I could see you being a Batman Returns stan.
Like, I love Batman Returns.
That's the weird, creepy one.
It also came out like at exactly the right time in my childhood where like it scared and fascinated me, and I watched it over and over again.
But it's a really good Batman movie, and I needed deconstruction because as we saw in Joker, even 12 movies in, most Batman movies take the Batman myth very seriously.
Right.
So to have that like kind of ripped apart a little bit. And these are the only movies that like get that the starting point is Batman's a douche. Let's work from there.
Yes. Right.
Like, and if you read a lot of the comics, that's obvious. Like particularly the one where he's old that was kind of the basis.
Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. Like, It's clear, like, yeah, this guy is a jerk that that makes it work. And a lot of the movies just treat him as hero McHero. So, this take is really good.
All right.
I hope we get a Bat Family movie at some point. And maybe Birds of Prey is going to be that for me.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm hyped for Birds of Prey.
I'm hyped for Birds of Prey.
I haven't seen it as we're recording this, but
what were your thoughts on Suicide Squad?
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay.
I don't think it's terrible. I think it is.
I fucking hated it.
Yeah. That was one of those movies where like every 10 minutes I was like, this is dumb.
No, I thought it was fine with gigantic problems.
Viola Davis was good.
Yeah, this, yeah, but that makes me like leery to like even go to watch Birds of Prey.
I thought Margot was very good, and a few of those characters were good, and Will Smith was not bad.
Yeah. There's so much waste.
It fell apart completely. Like the last half of that movie is utterly useless. But like the setup, I thought it was fine. I didn't hate it, and this one looks better. We'll find out.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I'm sure that'll. Let's make a point of discussing that on the next episode's You Can't Handle the Truth segment. The only other stuff I have in my notes are just a list of things that I liked. Like the mouth noises for making the pirate ship move. My favorite. This is the one I noticed this time for the first time when they're in the Western escape on the train tracks and there's a pig involved. They're either riding the pig or something.
Yes.
When they're attacked and the pig goes flying off in the distance, you can see the pig hit the ground and it explodes into six sausage Legos. This is why I love this movie.
I enjoyed the sword of exact zero.
So let's rate it. I did go down from, I don't know what I gave it last time. I did not listen to the, I think it was like You Can't Handle the Truth episode 8 or something was on the Lego movie. I didn't really look back at my old thoughts. It lost a little bit because I discovered that it's not all that rewatchable, but I still give it a 71.
Huh.
Let's go to Camila and see if Robin again hits the average.
It was at 72 until the last 5 seconds where he says you have to let your little sister come play, and the little Legos are like, we're here to destroy you. So it boosted up to 74 because that 74? I laughed for 5 minutes.
Then maybe you're going to like the Lego movie too, because that's where the Lego movie 2 goes.
Directly where it left off. I'm 75. So
very close to it. But again,
we kind of agree
on this one. This is as predicted, kind of a repeat of the Ant-Man episode where we're all like, yeah, okay.
Good movie.
Good movie.
Thanks.
Thumbs up. In fact, a 73.3. So it's a 73 and change. Very close to the top of, it's in our top 10. We like it in between Child's Play and Ant-Man. This actually got a better score than
that
Ant-Man.
That sounds true.
Yeah, seems right.
So what does that do to the ongoing number one movie in America bingo cards, Camila?
I think it fails the Bechdel test.
So we looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one exchange between Wild Style and Unikitty.
Okay.
Now, question.
What are they talking
about?
Does
Unikitty count as a woman?
I think they refer to her as she and her, yes?
Yeah.
I think so, because if not, if she doesn't count as a woman, then, Nala from Lion King doesn't, we're going to have to count female animals.
Female so animals. She's... So. Female gendered, yes. It's
definitely animated.
It is definitely animated. Cops? No.
Is it part of a series?
Wait,
it is
there's cops, there's good cops,
oh,
and
yeah,
bad
that's
cop.
Right. Well,
I think for some of these, because we talked about child actor too, I think, to get a square on the bingo card, it has to be very, very prominent.
Okay.
So, like, Cops should be a movie largely or partially about cops, not a movie with a cop in it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it gets for animated. It gets for total rating above 70. Part of a series? Yeah, I think it counts for part of a series. There are a bunch of these, as we discussed.
Is this a coming-of-age tale?
No.
No. Okay.
Did Emmett learn the error of his ways? No, I don't think so.
I don't think he does.
No gambling, no whore. War?
No.
Nope. Not in 80s.
Is this a biopic of the life of a Lego brick? No.
No.
So... those are the squares that you can check off at home. Part of a series, total rating above 70, and animated. I am not at a bingo. Are you, Camila?
Nope.
Not at a bingo.
And I'm close.
All right.
On two different paths here.
I have a real feeling you're going to get bingo.
Tony, do you have a bingo?
No.
If he wins, then he gets to pick the next movie.
He picks every movie.
He picks every movie. It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. I know we've been rambling a little bit on this one.
I don't have anything to say.
I
finished I have one movie left in the Oscars death race, so The Cave. So I've just been watching movies that no one cares about.
Speaking of movies no one cares about, I watched Taylor Swift's little documentary on Netflix.
Miss Americana? Yeah.
I thought about it and then went, nah, I'm good. So I'm glad you did for us.
Why did you watch it?
Well,
are you a
well,
Taylor
Robin,
Swift fan?
I am not a Taylor Swift fan.
Did it seem like it matched?
And, you know, I just kind of, I do love a good, you know, like why. I love an origin story.
Okay.
I like documentaries. And so I was like, well, maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe there's something, because I know I watched that Katy Perry one, not really caring about her before, and I was damn near in tears after seeing
that scene,
like, what
where she,
Russell, what's his butt, did to her.
Where she, like, pulls herself together to go on stage after she finds out she's getting divorced is beautiful.
Exactly.
Truly beautiful.
So I'm like, maybe I'm missing something. And I'm not. I'm not missing anything. Yeah. I mean, like, the little girl, like, she, yes, I feel like she does have really great lyrics. But the way those lyrics are presented in, like, this candy coating, I can't do it. Mm. So I'll never, it's not my thing. And I had to watch Beyonce's Homecoming to wash it off.
Yeah.
So,
That's such a good antidote.
So
I like her.
I like her, too. She's very complex in our place in our culture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I
don't trust her.
I don't.
There's something about her that it's just.
So maybe I will watch it. I know that at one point she talks about, like, white supremacists love me and I don't like that. Does that make it into the documentary?
No.
Okay. Because that was like a thing.
Because that would have made it in my recap.
Okay. That's like a thing that white supremacists love Taylor Swift. And then, like, she found out about that. And, like, that was what made her decide that she was going to, like, publicly say, like, I'm a Democrat, which was a big deal.
They do talk about that a lot, and there is, like, this interesting moment where her dad and her manager, like, these old ass men, are trying to tell her, basically, shut your mouth, don't say anything publicly about politics, you know, stay in your lane, kind of thing. And so she's, like, kind of arguing back and forth with them, and it's again, it's still like, but I want to do this, and I have to do, like, all right, I need you to a little more backbone when you're arguing for your rights, darling.
Oh. Also, she grew up, like, a block away from where my mom grew up.
Oh, really?
In Tennessee? Why am I missing? She's from Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Reading, Pennsylvania.
She seems like she's from Tennessee.
Right. That was, like, the first thing, and they were like, she's from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take my time to talk about The Void. So The Void is short, branded VR experiences. The metaphor I used was, if the Oasis from Ready Player One is an Xbox One, then The Void is an Atari 2600. Like, this is the first step on the road to that, where you have a helmet, so you have a full range of vision, and you're wearing a vest, so you can feel certain things. Like, if you get hit, you feel it where you get hit, and that's all you're wearing. And it takes place, that's not all you're wearing your normal clothes. I didn't want to imply.
It's not a pants-free experience.
It's not a pants. Just when I heard
clear.
It. You know what? You know why I was sensitive to it? Because I'm for Pittsburgh Magazine, I'm doing this week's Weekender, and one of the events that I'm at is the Undie Run, you know, the charitable Undie Run. And so I was like, take off your pants and run around. And I was like, can I say that? Do I need to stipulate that? Or can that be in the deck of this article? Anyway, the only equipment you're wearing is a helmet and a vest, but you can move around freely because it's in, like, a series of interconnected rooms, kind of like where a laser tag would happen. And they are setting up those rooms so that if there's a table in your headset in that room, there's a corresponding real world table in the room, so you can reach and touch certain objects around you.
Where is this?
So, many locations in California. I think it's California-based. Other than that, Orlando, Atlanta, Minneapolis, Vegas, New York, Dallas, that's where I was, and D.C. Also,
wow,
Toronto.
Big fuck you to flyover country.
I know. Well, Toronto,
across,
Edmonton.
Yeah, I actually went into one in Toronto a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to do it because it was a work trip, but I was intrigued.
And so most of them are branded things. Like, I did a Jumanji one and a Star Wars one. Mm. And in the Jumanji one, it was basically a very, very short version of the plot of the most recent Jumanji movie, where I, you know, got sucked into the game and I was the Rock. And when you would look at mirrors in the game and you saw yourself as the Rock.
Interesting.
And one of the cool things about it is it knows your hands are moving without any equipment on your hands.
Really?
So, like, just based on, I guess, the vest is scanning around it.
Oh, this seems
when
fun.
You do things with your hands, it happens even though you're not wearing anything on your hands. The gameplay is pretty simple, but just little things like for a long time you're in a cart because every location has to be somewhere that could conceivably be in a small room. So you're in this cart like almost on a zipline thing, but the door is open so you can go and like put your hands on the side of the door and with your helmet look out and like see the river below you as it goes by.
Wow.
And if things are hot, there's heat. If there's smelly things, you can smell them. Like it's very...
The tingler again.
It's very, very basic version of the thing that we're kind of all waiting around for and like the possibilities of VR. In the Star Wars one, eventually, the Star Wars is set at Rogue One time. You have to go figure out some special weapon that the Empire has, and you're disguised as a stormtrooper to infiltrate. And at a certain point, they figure out you're not a regular stormtrooper, and you grab a blaster, and you're shooting stormtroopers. So, like,
it sounds stressful.
In a sensory way, I'm like, with my actual human body, I'm kneeling down with this blaster that I'm actually holding, taking out stormtroopers that I can see around me. And if I don't keep looking around, they're going to come from directions that I don't like.
I don't want any part of that.
And at the end of it, when Darth Vader comes, nope. Like I'm like, Darth Vader is walking at me with
Weird.
His lightsaber.
I'm going to nope right out of that one.
It's really, really great. And as they expand the technology, it's only going to get more and more cool.
Did you feel physically like weird or like mentally like once you got out of it or like was it
I've done enough VR stuff that I am not used to it. I bet that, you know, if you are sensitive to that thing, this is going to be a tricky thing to undergo. The biggest effect is that it kind of makes other games seem kind of lame.
Pointless.
Like when you go home and play with a controller, you're like, yeah, but I was shooting stormtroopers yesterday. And it's
like a commoner with this fucking controller.
If you're in any of those places, or Malaysia or the United Arab Emirates, if you're in any of those places, like I'm going to make a point to go back in Orlando. The big new thing is that there's an Avengers one where like Shuri is your point of contact and
that
you have to
awesome.
Do a, have to do a small mission for the Avengers that Sweet. Apparently everybody is in because now they just put that in the contracts all the time. Like, do you want Marvel money? You have to do whatever theme park rides and virtual experiences we want. So look that up. If you're in a vacation place or Minneapolis, I do not mean to imply that Minneapolis is not worthy of a vacation. Anything else, or should we draw a movie?
Draw a movie.
Next time, and I will remind you that all vetoes are in play. The number is 1151. It's down at the bottom of the alphabet. It might start with a W or something. Well, no, that's the wrong button. That's the veto button.
Are you vetoing?
I don't even have to think about it.
What is it?
We landed on Transformers.
Bless your heart.
I know. Whew. Thank you.
I mean, part
yes. Now you get the applause.
Right.
my only moment of consider if Bumblebee was number one, I would have watched it because people said that was good.
Allegedly,
and
I'm
a little curious. I hesitate for a second because at least it's the original, but
no. Original as in what?
Like
I mean,
opposed to like Transformers
Age
of Extinction.
There are five Transformers movies on this list.
That exist, like Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I think that there are also defenders of The Last Knight. Yeah, a recent Transformers movie. I believe that there are people out there who are like, it's actually pretty good.
That's the 2017 one. I mean, I had a moment where it's the first maybe to be an interesting conversation, but also like, yeah, I've seen that one. It's terrible. Those movies are so bad. And I know people genuinely like them and I have no concept of why.
I saw that movie in the theater and my friend Ben Mayer said, this movie is awful and walked away. Just left.
You're like, well, wait,
this movie is awful and just
disappeared. I'm sure if I hadn't vetoed it, one of the two of you would, but I wanted the honor of refusing to watch Transformers for myself. By the way, before I find out what this movie is, did we ever make up our minds, like, now that I've played a veto, we have to watch the next movie?
Yeah.
Neither yes,
of
that
you,
is correct.
That's what it was.
Neither of you can veto The Hangover Part 2.
Oh, jeez.
That is such a
Tony.
That is such a marginal improvement.
It is, but you know what?
I've never seen it, so I guess I'm expanding my horizons.
I'm good with it.
At least, apparently, the third one is not didn't go to number one because only The Hangover and Part Two.
Well, yeah,
are on
because
our list.
We learned our lesson after the second one.
We're yeah, like, we're like, oh,
the first one was great. No.
I really hope this is streaming somewhere. I do not want to spend money on The Hangover Part Two.
No, this is for you, Abby. Yay, we get to watch The Hangover Part Two. Woohoo!
Who's that?
Abby
for?
Fudor.
She loves it.
No, because
she complains. Oh, she wants us to be enthusiastic.
Right. Oh, right.
I think she would let it slide when we said, yeah, what we got was Transformers and Hangover 2. It's fine. I mean,
we're excited that we have a podcast.
We are excited we have a podcast. I'm excited that we join hands and hearts and paper in Tony's case to talk about movies every week. Sometimes they're going to be bad. I have no problem with it being bad. I legitimately have no problem with watching and talking about Hangover Part 2 because it's not Transformers, right. So great.
I think this will be an interesting conversation.
I absolutely agree. Again, Lego Movie came out February 7th, 2014. We're looking to get Robin on the board and guessing the number one album in America. And I do think this is the time that it theoretically could happen. Robin has a leg up on this one.
I was pretty checked out musically in 2014.
Does anyone have an initial guess?
Taylor Swift.
That was also going to be my initial guess. But I think that her 2014 album came out at the end of the year. So yes. I don't think that's right.
It is not Taylor
89.
Swift. So yeah. I will begin naming songs from this album, again, in reverse order of recognizability. Mm. Starting with In Summer, Fixer Upper, Love Is an Open Door.
Okay, that is the Frozen soundtrack.
It's the Frozen soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Fixer Upper. Oh, the trolls sing.
That's
the
thing that the trolls sing about Kristoff. And In Summer is Olaf's big number.
I did it.
Way to go,
Robin.
You did it. Robin did it. It was a weekend of animation. Lego Movie was the number one movie, and the Frozen soundtrack was the number one song. I remember seeing the Frozen screening early because there was no pre-release hype for Frozen. It was like,
because it was about girls.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I guess Disney's got a thing. Okay, yeah. And that's the way I walked into it and then left weeping. And I remember saying to people, like, I wonder if this Let It Go is going to become a hit.
Oh, jeez.
It did. Boy, did it.
It did.
One thing it I will say about Frozen, that is one of those, it's on my short list of movies that I believe was better because I saw it in 3D.
Oh, yeah, probably.
It's very cool with the snow, like, falling. Mm-hmm. All in your field of vision.
That would be a good The Void experience. But wear clothes, that's all I'm saying. I'm not giving people to go to The Void without wearing clothes. I apologize for that.
Sean Collier said we could.
That is a sentence that will get you nothing anywhere.